Father, we love you, and we thank you, we give you honor, we give you praise. We say, hallowed be thy name. We say, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the glory, and the power, the dominion, the majesty, wisdom, and all honor be yours, Lord. We thank you because thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord, and thou reignest, you reign over all, and thy power in thy hand, Lord, is power. In thy hand is might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all and to give wisdom, to give understanding unto all. It's all in thy hand. Help us, O Lord, as we prepare our hearts today to hear the word of the Lord. Let the meditations of our heart, the words of our mouth, let everything be acceptable. Let it come from the wells of the fountains of living water in Jesus' name. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, we say amen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we've been, for the past week, we've been on this lesson of engaging God's word in the spirit. And I believe today will be the last day of the series wrap up of all that we have been talking about. We started with what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, that it is the spirit that quickens and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. So if the flesh profits nothing and it is the spirit that quickens, then we got to find a way and understand what it means, you know, to engage the word in the spirit, because he said it is that word that is spirit and life. So that's what we've been talking about. And we use the example of David, what he wrote in Psalm 119, a lot of verses, 176. Divided into many sections. And as we looked at everything, we thought upon the name of the Lord, we thought upon the walk, the word of the Lord, and so forth. And we knew that David was always, you know, reverting back to the word of the Lord. No matter what situation he was going through, was always reverting back to the word of the Lord. And, you know, we wanted to adopt the same posture. We wanted to adopt that same posture. Praise the Lord. So, today I'm going to just go through this Psalm 119 again, call out a few verses. And I want you to also engage in the discussion by sharing with us whatever verses stood out to you as you went through this great and wonderful psalm. The theme of this psalm, as far as, you know, I can tell, it's mostly about this very thing, engaging the word of the Lord. Sometimes he calls it the law, and sometimes he calls it God's precepts, sometimes he calls it his testimonies, sometimes he calls it statutes, but it's all the same. So, looking through these psalm, let's call out a few verses. He starts out by saying, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. And I'm going to call out a few verses, actually several verses, that stand out to me throughout this. And we read through those verses. I want you to meditate on them and perhaps commit some of them to memory too, as many as you can. Praise the Lord. You know, so, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 5. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And that's a good prayer for all of us to pray from time to time. Lord, direct my ways to keep your statutes. I know in doing so, I will not be ashamed, especially when I keep all of your commandments. I have respect to keep them. I have respect unto all your commandments. The same thing as we talked about when Paul was writing to Timothy and said, look, do nothing by partiality. You know, keep the word of God in its entirety. Don't take one part of it over another. You know, have respect unto all thy commandments. You cannot pick and choose. You gotta take everything in its entirety. Praise the Lord. So that's one that I want us to pause about for a minute. To pause on and for a minute think about it. What does that mean to you? Have respect unto all his commandments. Can we really say that that's the way we are? Every word of God, is it pure to us? Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, is that how we see the word of God? Every part of it, not just the ones we like or the ones we don't like, or the ones that sit well with us, like people say, and the ones that don't sit well with us. Every word of God, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what he said. That thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing. Impartiality and so forth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. This was a charge that Paul gave to Timothy. And I want to charge this room also today by the word of the Lord. I charge you, everyone that is here listening, either physically now or later on, I charge you, he said, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. That's right. And so those are all cloud of witnesses that are bearing witness that I give you this charge today. On this day, May the 30th, 2026, give I this unto you, this charge, that you observe these things that are in the word of God, without preferring one above the other or before the other, doing nothing by partiality. Keep every word of God. Cannot pick and choose which one we want. Sometimes we pick the easy ones, but no. Whether it's easy, whether it's difficult, we must keep the word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, it's the same thing that Jesus quoted to the devil while he was in the wilderness, tempted to make stone into bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word comes out of his mouth. Deuteronomy 8:3 said, the Lord hath humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know how that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's every word. We can't pick the ones we like and the ones we don't like. Praise the Lord. So, that's the first charge that I give by the grace of God to everyone that is in this room today. Praise the Lord. It also says in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 that every word of God is pure. Every word. And remember the way that even Paul describes the word of God. It puts it as a collection, as a single collection. You know, so it's just like when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular. You can't pick and choose which one you want or not. It's singular. You got to bear all the flavors of that fruit, all the attributes of that fruit. In the same way, Paul writes about the word of God as a singular, you know, collection, or as a single collection. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, all scripture is given. Yeah, it didn't say scriptures are, you know, it's all one single collection. Take it in its entirety. All scripture is. So together, the scripture is complete as a whole. If we split it up, then it's not complete. You take everything in its entirety. So that's the first chart. The second one I want to call out is in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, or young person, or woman, or whatever, cleanse his ways? Well, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You take that in addition to verse 11. So we read it this way. How shall I cleanse my way, O Lord? It is by taking heed according to thy word. That's how I can cleanse my way. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, when I was a young man, just coming into salvation, we were taught these things like, well, you know, this Bible will keep you from sin. They used to hammer that into our heads back then. And that sin will also keep you from it. You know, when there is sin in our hearts, we harbor sin, then we don't want to hear the word of God. And then if you hide the word of God in your heart, then also it'll keep you from sin. So it works both ways. So taking verses 9 and 11 together, that's the way to perfect our walk, walking with God. Cleanse your heart, keep your heart by keeping his word, you know, by channeling your heart in alignment with his word, engaging that word in the spirit, hiding it in your heart to keep you in all your ways. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And this is, you might call it a charge that he gave himself. This is how he spoke to himself, directed his heart in what he wanted to do. This was his commitment. And our prayer is, Lord, help me to commit myself to your statutes. These are the guardrails in God's word that teaches us how to behave ourselves, you know, appropriately. Praise God. You know, even Paul wrote to Timothy and said, look, behave yourself in the right way in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of truth. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Like I said, if you're just joining us, I'm going through Psalm 119 and just calling out some key verses that I want us to meditate on and pray to receive that grace that is in each of those verses. Pray to receive the grace to delight thyself in God's statutes. Pray to receive the grace to not forget his word at any time. That's what he said. Now, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, or out of the word of the Lord. Well, what are those wondrous things? Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, saith the Lord, and I will show thee great and marvelous things which thou knowest not. You know, so let's always consider that when we read the word of God, or when you hear it being preached, don't think of it as I've heard that before. You know, and you engage in the spirit, God will show you something even from the thing that you've read before. He'll show you something new. There's something new that God can always reveal to the loving inquirers and holy seekers. God will show you something. Praise the Lord. That's our prayer. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Not what I've known or what I've never known. Not where I've been or where I've never been. Not where I even thought I couldn't go. I mean, even where I thought I couldn't go on my own. The Lord can take us there in the spirit. The deep things of God. Say, open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold such things. Open my ears, even, that I may hear. And, you know, Jesus was speaking, you know, explaining the parables, why he spoke in parables. He said, well, Isaiah said, hearing they hear, but they don't even get it. Seeing they see not. And if you don't hear to understand and you don't see, you know, some people are sighted, but they are blind. You know, he said, well, then there can be no understanding that will come into the heart. And if that's the case, then people cannot be converted or healed. So let's pray that our eyes will be open to his word at all times. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and are my counselors. You need counseling? Well, check out the word of God first. Let it be your first stop. And it can also be your one-stop shopping for counseling. It's right here in the word of God. He said, look, the word of God is my, you know, is my delight. And all the things that God has spoken, the word of God, those things are my counselors. That's counsel in this word. It's so rich. You know, in the book of Proverbs, you know, the writer of the book of Proverbs, he said, look, incline your ears to my words. You know, hear ye children, my instructions as a father. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1. And I also say, by the grace of God, as a father over this house, hear my instructions. I'm giving you instruction in the word of the Lord today. And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. That's it. Good doctrine is what we present to you every day. Forsake ye not my law. I myself was my father's son, he said. I was tender and I was beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's right. So don't go away from these words that we preach unto you today. Praise the Lord. Let the words of God be your guide continually. Isaiah 58 says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Let the word of God guide you continually and be your counselor. Holy Spirit, Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit, he shall guide you into all truth. What is it that you want to know? Where are the areas that you need counseling? Well, seek the word of the Lord. It's in there somewhere. And if you can find a godly counselor that will counsel you according to the word of God, that's good too. But don't seek for counselors that will only use human psychology to try to get you through life. That can only get you so far. Many of their own lives are falling apart even. But, you know, the word of God, that's the one that will guide you through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 28. You know, this is a prayer that we could pray anytime that we are overladen with life's burdens and challenges and different things. My soul melted for heaviness, he said. Strengthen thou me, O Lord, according to thy word. How do you get strength? Well, look in the word of God. See some examples. Use the word of God to encourage yourself. David often encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, and these Psalms, I have found, you know, the Psalms, especially, and the book of Isaiah. Those two I have found full of encouragement, personal encouragement, that I can use from time to time, such as some of the declarations of Isaiah, you know, like Isaiah 50 and verse 7, for, you know, the Lord God will help me. I know he will help me, you know, and therefore I will not be confounded. I have set my face as a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. I mean, many declarations like that, you know, other things like that will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26 and 3. Other declarations like, you know, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12 and 3. On and on and on. Many things in the book. And you know all the promises about, you know, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Isaiah 54, 17. You know the promises about the children of the Lord will be delivered. I'll contend with them that contend with you. Isaiah 49, 25 and so on. I mean, it's loaded. You know, the book of Isaiah just loaded with so many promises. Same thing with the book of Isaiah. Between those two, this book of Psalms, between those two, you know, the psalmist himself, some of the things he said, like the Lord is my light, the light and my strength. Psalm 21, strength of my life, you know, of whom shall I be afraid? I mean, the Lord is my strength, my life, my keeper, my hope, my hiding place, my strong tower, my shield, even my salvation and my song. I mean, so many things he says like that throughout the word of God. You know, so we can always find strength, even in trouble, from the word of God. That's what verse 28 is talking about. When I am in distress, you know, Sammy said, you know, what time I am in distress and what time I am afraid, what will I do? Well, I will praise him in his word. I'll look to his word. You know, those are always, that's always his posture. You know, what time I'm afraid, Psalm 56, tell you that I will trust in him and I will praise him in his word. Verses 3 and 4. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what man shall do to me. So when we are in the time of heaviness, look to the word of God. And if you have kept the word of God close to your heart, even if you don't have a Bible with you at the time, you can recall those things and speak those same words to yourself to strengthen yourself according to the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump to verse 37. Turn away my eyes, O Lord, from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. That's right. Establish thy word also unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Isn't that beautiful? That's a prayer. As we are reading these things, be praying along and saying, Lord, help me to keep my eyes away from beholding vanity. Jesus taught his disciples to pray like that. He said, keep us from evil. Lead us away from temptation. You know, so let us pray that the Lord will help us to keep our eyes. The eyes, they are a very dangerous portal to the soul. If we don't guard the eyes like that, Jesus said, look, let your eye be single. If it is single, it will be full of light. But if you allow darkness to be in that eye, or that eye to behold darkness, how great will be the darkness of the entire body? Because the eye is the eyes are a portal to the soul. So let your eye be single. Single upon the word of God. And let it have the light, and they receive the light that comes from the word of God. You know, otherwise it will become darkness. And how great will that darkness be? Jesus said, you know, for the body that is full of light, according to Matthew 6 and verse 22, he said, if therefore your eye be single, well, that means if it is pure, if it is undivided, if it is focused on God and it's not distracted by all the chaos of this world, if your eye is single like that, then your whole body will be full of light. But if otherwise, then it will be darkness. And how great will be that darkness? You know, if the whole body, if the eye is single, it'd be full of light. But if the eye is evil in beholding vanity, then the whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, well, how great is that darkness then? So don't let your light be darkness. One quick way for light to become darkness is the eye beholding vanity. You know, so, let's make sure that we do not allow that to be the case. So we can pray that prayer, you know, today and say, Lord, you know, help me. I don't want, you know, to set any wicked thing before my eyes. You know, that's the thing that should be our prayer. Take a moment as you are going through this morning, you know, do not set any wicked thing, that's vanity, before our eyes, you know. And I pray that that will be our prayer and our posture always. Psalm 101 and verse 3 says, I will not set any wicked thing before my eyes. You know, no wicked thing, no vanity, anything that is unwholesome, you know, we will not set that before our eyes, because that can bring darkness very quickly, Jesus said. So that's a good prayer. Verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And that's also a good prayer. I hope you are praying along as we are reading these things. Make this your prayer. In some places he makes declarations. In other places he makes it a prayer. You can make the declaration a prayer even. you know. And here, it's a prayer. Let thy mercies, O Lord, come also unto me, and even thy salvation. The Lord can save us by his word in every situation. Save me from ungodly and wicked people and men. Save my soul from distress. Save me from evil throughout the day. Jesus prayed, said to taught his disciples to pray that prayer. Deliver me, that's saved, from evil, and lead us away from temptation. So we can pray this prayer. And when we call Jesus Savior, it's not only about Savior, salvation from sin and the consequences of that. It's about saving us in every situation. Our God will come and save us. Save you in every situation. He can save you from falling into the pit. He can save you out of the pit, even if you fell into it. On and on and on. God is the God, our God, the Lord is our Savior. You know, and if you are always relying on the word of God, he said, then so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. You know, my trust is in the word of God. You know, always have an answer to every situation out of the word of God. You can do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what Jesus said? It is the word that I speak that quickeneth. He said, the spirit is the one that quickeneth, and the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. So the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4 and 12. It quickens, you know, the dead areas in our lives. The word of God will bring them alive into, you know, the reality of faith. Praise God. You know, he said, this is my comfort, even in my affliction. What time I am afraid, I will praise him in his word. And this is what he always went back to that word. The word of God is what will shape on me. Shape on me. Instead of being shaping in iniquity and evil, well, shaping ourselves in the word of God. The more of the word of God we read and digest, the more of the nature of Christ will be formed in us. Praise the Lord. Here is one of contrition and warning. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept thy word. And so this verse tells us that, look, you know, and well, granted that it is not, you know, every affliction is not necessarily caused by the fact that somebody went astray. There are some afflictions that are just the work of the wickedness, bands of wickedness come upon people. You know, an enemy has done this, Jesus said. Those things will happen. It's not every affliction that was caused by our own disobedience or walking away from the truth. Job was afflicted, but yet he was walking in the integrity of his heart before the Lord. John chapter 9, Jesus said it wasn't this man's sins, nor yet his parents, that caused this thing. I mean, so let's settle that. Not every affliction was caused by some error or some sin or whatever. However, when you do go astray, you will be afflicted. There's no question about that. You know, the sheep that runs away from the flock or wanders away from the flock will be afflicted. You know, even though the shepherd will go looking for it, he's going to suffer before it gets back to the flock. Can fall into the ditch, will be chased by wild animals, all kinds of things. you know. But the shepherd would go after it and try to bring him back, but he would have suffered a great deal. So stay in the boat. Paul said to the people, except ye stay in the boat, ye cannot be saved. You know, when they were facing that peril of, tempest on the, on that voyage. So, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, and David was somebody that was thankful to the Lord for even God's righteous judgment upon him. He was thankful for it. He did wrong. The Lord punished him and he thanked the Lord for it. That's the posture that we should follow. I remember when I was a young man, if I got into trouble, and my dad, it was very few times actually, to the glory of God, I got into trouble very, 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 very few times. I wasn't troublesome like that at home. But occasionally I did. And when I did, you know, if my father dished out a punishment, he always wanted you to say, thank you at the end of it. I'm like, no, thank you for what? You just punished me. What am I thanking you for? You know, but it was a lesson in life that he was training us. And that, look, I'm not just punishing you for punishing's sake, teaching you a lesson. And you got to be thankful for it. I didn't always appreciate that. But later on in life, I knew exactly what he was talking about. And this is the way David was. It was like, look, I'm always thankful when the Lord chastened me sore, you know, for whatever evil I allowed to creep into my heart. And this will teach me a lesson, and I will now stay with his word and not do those things again. You know, I mean, so that's a great lesson. If you go away, walk away from the Lord and step outside the guardrails, you will be afflicted. However, his mercy will pull you out if you turn back unto the Lord. It's kind of like the story of the prodigal son. You know, he should have stayed with wisdom and discretion, but he didn't. He went wasting his substance, riotous living and everything. He went astray and he was afflicted. There's no question about it. You will be afflicted if you go astray. But to God be the glory. A beautiful part of this story, the best part actually of this story, was he came to his senses one day and he said, I must return to my father. Ha! Glory to God. You know, and that's it. And the father was always waiting, you know, waiting for him to come back. He was always on the lookout. He was the first to see him from afar off, because he was always looking. My son will be coming. The elder brother said, your son, he's not coming anywhere, from anywhere. Oh yeah, he'll be coming. And then he came, praise God. And the father fell upon his neck. I ran towards him. You know, so you will be afflicted if you go astray, but remember, you must always turn to the Lord. And if the Lord disciplines us, Scripture say, no discipline for the moment is pleasant. But remember, it is for your good. For every son that he loves, he chasteneth. Praise God. The devil also will take advantage. You know, the devil takes advantage. It's not only the Lord that will discipline us, you know, when we go astray. You got to be very careful. You know, because the discipline of the Lord is for your good. The devil taking advantage of any hole he finds in your armor will not be for your good. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 says, he that digs a pit will fall into it, and he that breaks a hedge, that serpent will come in and bite. You know, the devil is like a viper. He's coiled up like that. You know how those vipers coil up? Their head is there. They're looking, waiting to strike. Sometimes he will strike and hit a brick wall. That's it. When you got the integrity of your heart, you are walking in obedience, He will strike and he will hit a brick wall. He can't get through. But he's always looking and looking for a crack. And when he sees a crack, then he will strike through that crack. So you got to be careful. So if we go astray, we've left our guardrails. We walked outside the instructions of the Word of God. Then you are wide open, a wide open target at that time. So be careful now. You know, so that's what the psalmist is saying here. And in verse 72, you know, okay, verse 71 is part of that same lesson of affliction. It is good. This is what I was saying, that he always appreciated it when the Lord disciplined him, you know, and allowed him to suffer some pain because of, you know, the error of his ways. He appreciated the Lord for it. Say, it is good for me that I was afflicted so that I may learn to stay within the guardrails. Don't go outside of that. You are going to get into trouble and you will be afflicted, and it may not be pleasant. It might be painful. You know, so he often said things like that. And he was always appreciative. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Wow. Well, I don't know today how many people would choose the word of the Lord over riches. You know, some of us, even simple things as our jobs keep us from fellowship, you know, let alone thousands of riches. I mean, this was Pharaoh's tactic from the beginning. Let there be more work laid in upon them so that they will not have time to say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Huh? Still the same till today. You know, many of us, you know, when we are looking for work, and they, especially those who are working areas, disciplines that have, like, you know, rotations and shifts, and they want 24-hour coverage, and you got to cover this one, and the other person cover that one, and they don't want a lack or a gap, they might give you a shift and a rotation that prevents you from even attending fellowship. That's not a job that you should take. You say, well, you know, you don't know my situation. No, I don't. But I know that if you pray and you are desiring, God will give you something better, you know, because you should never choose. We should not choose anything that will prevent us from serving the Lord. You know, don't take it. Walk away from it. You say, well, that's easier said than done. That's true. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to pause right now and pray for everybody. You know, if the life circumstances around you, you know, are choking you, you know, Jesus said it. He said that the seed that fell among thorns, because the chaos of this life, deceitfulness of riches, you know, choked everything out. So if you are in that situation, I pray for you today that the Lord will give you the grace to rise above that situation. And God, if your heart is right with the Lord, to do what is right and to seek him with all your heart and to make him your chief joy and your choice in all situations, he will make a way for you. I pray that those that are desirous to come out of under the heavy burdens of work, especially work that prevents you from serving the Lord. We're not talking about people being lazy, not wanting to go to work and using that as an excuse to just sit around and do nothing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about well-meaning people that are ready to work hard, to get money, to take care of their bills, help their families and meet their obligations. They are well-meaning. But life circumstances and situations will not, you know, allow them to get the proper job that can facilitate time for prayer, time for fellowship, time for this and that. And they end up in horrible jobs that don't give them time to do any of this. That's what I'm talking about. You are well-meaning. You really want to serve the Lord, but your job is preventing you. You got to go to church. You got to go to work on Sundays. You got to go to work with this and that. You know, those are the people that I'm praying for today, not for people who are lazy. I don't want to do anything. You want to work hard and you are working hard, but you know, the devil is putting even more work upon you so that you will not have time for the Lord. That's the one that I am praying about. It is vain, he said, for you to rise up early and sit up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows. That's Psalm 127 and verse 2. What does that mean? Well, you know, it's kind of like I got to work 2-3 jobs. I don't have time. I got to get up early in the morning. I got to work till midnight and all of that. And at the end of it, it's still the bread of sorrows. And I say, well, the Lord can give you relief. But you got to believe it. It may not happen today, but it could happen tomorrow, that God will change your story. But you got to want it. Praise the Lord. And don't let the devil hedge you in like that. Because otherwise, you know, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you don't have time to cater to your soul while you're chasing how to pay your bills, what good is it to you? Jesus said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now you got to use wisdom, from the Lord in doing this as well. That's why the right coaching can help people, you know, praise the Lord. And your posture in your heart also. If you are desirous, we've heard testimony even in this room, people that wanted to serve the Lord, they had difficult jobs at first, and the Lord, you know, will make a way for them, give them something else. Praise the Lord, you know, so that you can really serve. But, you know, if you are in a situation too where your job is difficult and you can't be at fellowship, all right, it is what it is. Bible says in whatever situation you are, therein abide for the moment. If you are called being a, you know, student, so be it. If you are called being a nurse, so be it. If you are called being that or this, so be it. In that place too. Now let me tell you this. I'm going to digress a little bit and talk to you about what some people call apostles in the workplace or in the marketplace. Well, you know, what it is, look, wherever you are, even when that job is preventing you from going into fellowship, while you are in the so-called marketplace, you may be in business. Maybe the thing is you're just overwhelmed with it. Well, you can use that, turn that to your advantage and make it a ministry. You got to be able to find a way in that. You know, ministry is not only in the church. many people think that ministry is only for the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, these are only for the church. No. In fact, if you read that verse carefully, it says, you know, that it is, you know, these things are given for the work of the ministry. Now, where is the work of the ministry? It's out there, you know. It's not necessarily only in the confines of the church. I've told stories of Stephen and Philip who were appointed to serve tables around the church. And the widows, you know, do this work and so forth. We will give ourselves to prayer, Peter and the rest of them said. You know, we can't be bogged down with this thing. But find for yourself 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that we can appoint over these duties. Let them do that. But for us, we are going to focus on the ministry of the word. Well, you know, the two out of the seven people that were appointed, we were told that they did that work of ministering to the widows, but they also went and ministered among the people. So, you know, it's not only when you are in church that you can serve, is what I'm trying to say. Even when your work or your job or whatever you're engaged in prevents you from going to church, now that's not the ideal situation, but even if it does, in that situation, you can also function for Christ. Now, these people, they went out. Their work wasn't preventing them, but the people said, no, you can't do this. We will. You go do the other. So I said, fine. They did that, but the example was in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, and Acts chapter 8, verse 6. See how these two people went among the people. Stephen did, and Philip also did. And they did tremendous miracles among the people. So what I'm saying is that even on your job, let's say you are in the workplace on a Sunday where you should be at church, and in your heart you are grumbling because you really want to be at church, but you are on the job and you are not happy about it. Well, change that story around by rejoicing even in that tribulation or whatever, you know, and make yourself an instrument of righteousness even there. You see, you can have ministry right there. You can impact some lives right there. Wherever you find yourself, whatever your hand find doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Even when that thing makes you unhappy for now, because you would rather be at church, you would rather be in the prayer meeting or whatever, but the job is preventing you from doing that. Well, turn that thing, situation, to your benefit. If you win a soul during that time, you will have done more by just going to church and sitting on a pew and doing nothing. You know, so you can use whatever, this is wisdom. Wherever you find yourself, ideally, you don't want a job that cramps your spiritual life, so to speak. But if that's the case, well, that's the case. And then you've got to thrive in every situation. You've got to know how to abound in every situation. Paul said, look, in every situation, whether I'm up or down, whether I'm free or bound, you know, he said, look, if you are free, then you are the Lord's bondsman. And if you are bound, then you are the Lord's freeman. Whatever situation you are in, wherein I am, I have learned to excel. I can do all things through Christ. You know, if I'm in a place where didn't want to be because I'd rather be at church, well, then, you know, turn it to ministry. Praise the Lord, because you are there for a reason. That's right. Anywhere you are there for a reason. Joseph found himself in prison. Didn't want to be in prison or something he didn't even do, but he turned it into a ministry. That's right. He would go around, would talk to the fellow prisoners. How you guys doing today? And, you know, every day they were doing well until one day they were not looking so well. And it was his ministry, you know, that caused him, you know, it helped him, gave him influence, and it also helped him. You know, the fact that he said, why look you so sadly today? That means the days before he had been with them and they were not looking so sadly. And he used even his time in prison to minister to people. Minister grace to them. Why are you sad today? And they told him. And then he listened. And then he had a word. The Bible says, be ready always to have a word. A word in season. You know, a word in season. A word that is fitly spoken. Ah, like apples of gold. in pictures of silver. He had a word that he could speak to them. Unfortunately, for one person, it wasn't really good. But that man also had time to prepare. In 3 days, unfortunately, Pharaoh is going to send to take your life. So prepare to meet thy God. This is the time for you to do that. Settle everything, you know, in your heart, because in 3 days, I mean, this man knew he was going to die in 3 days. So he had opportunity to make things right. And that was Joseph's ministry, even while he was in prison. So wherever you are, even when the devil confines you, we would rather not. We'd rather be free to do what we want to do for the Lord. But even when the Lord allows that situation to happen, well, you can use it also to your advantage, is what I'm trying to say. So don't let the devil get the better of you in anything. You know, determine that the devil will never laugh over you. That's it. You know, whether you are down, you will rise again. Micah said, look, oh, my enemy, in Micah chapter 7, verse 8, said, rejoice not against you. I'm not going to let you laugh over me. You're not going to do it. You know, because no matter what I am going through, you will not have laugh over me. Because when I fall, you know, I will arise. When I'm in a straight jacket, so to speak, I will turn that situation around and use it to be a witness for Christ even there. When I sit in darkness, it looks like, you know, I can't fellowship, I can't do, I'm going to find a way. The Lord will be a light to me even there. Yeah, so never let the devil get the better of you in any situation. But if you can be free, Paul said, use it rather, for you are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. But if you are, you are. You know. But if you can be free, you use it rather. So that's what we are talking about. Is your word, is the word of the Lord more precious to you than thousands of gold and silver? If you desire the word of the Lord like that, he will make a way for you. Verse 80 says, let my heart be sound. Now, this is someone that is engaging the statutes of the Lord in the spirit. Let my heart be sound, you know, in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. The word of God is able to keep you from shame. That's right. Joel chapter 2 verses 26 and 27 says, my people shall never be ashamed. Twice he says it in those two verses. My people shall not be ashamed. Isaiah says it himself. I will not be ashamed, for the Lord God will help me. Well, David says this here. I will not be ashamed because I will dig deep into thy statutes. If I can dig deep into your statutes, then I know I will not be ashamed, because the word of God will keep me from evil, from making decisions that will bring regret and shame to the name of the Lord, to your family, and to yourself. The word of God will keep you. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I should not sin. The word of God will also keep you from shame. If people follow the word of God, it will preserve you. It will be the protector of your soul, be health to your navels, it says. You know, keep thy word, keep my word, meditate upon it, be health to thy navels, and so on and so forth. Verse 89, powerful one that everybody knows and loves. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. My response to that is, well, Lord, let it also be settled in my heart. Because Jesus said, well, pray that whatever is happening in heaven be happening in the earth. He said, I will be done as in heaven, in earth, as it is in heaven. So if the word of God is settled in heaven, well, let it also be settled in your heart. That's it. You know, what does that mean? What does settled mean? Well, it means there is no yo-yo stuff. There is no shadow of turning or variableness. You know, there is no mood swings. You know, God is not a yo-yo God. One day he feels good, so he's going to bless you. He's feeling it. I feel this. And the next day he's not feeling it. And then he doesn't. No. is not a yo-yo God. There is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. What does that variableness mean? It means it doesn't have mood swings. You know, some of us have mood swings. All of us do, myself included. You know, we have mood swings. You know, sometimes we are this way and sometimes we are that way. That's not God. It's always just the same. Praise the Lord. No variableness, no shadow of turning. He's, you know, his, what do you call it? Posture is always just the same. James chapter 1 verse 17. You can't, you know, it's not up and down. It's not yo-yo stuff. His word is forever settled. So, his word is not one way, this way, today, the next day is that way, the next, maybe, perhaps, sometimes, maybe. No, his word is forever settled. And take that same posture for yourself. He said, Lord, inasmuch as your word is forever settled, I also settle it. Bible says, settle it therefore in your heart. Jesus was telling them, look, when they bring you before magistrates and judges and stuff, settle it in your heart before time. That, look, this is, let it, your heart be settled that you are not going to give in to that nonsense. You're going to stay the course. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they settled it in their hearts. Even before that, when they came before the king, they said, look, we have settled this in our heart already. There's no need for us to go and come back to give you an answer. No, our answer is settled. We will not bow. That thing infuriated the king. He was so mad. How you dare talk to me like this? Don't you know I can take your life? That's the same thing that Pilate was saying to Jesus. How dare you? Don't you know I can take your life or even set you? Just said, no, you would have no power over me at all. Except it was given into your hand. For this purpose, I came into the world. So nobody can have power over you except God gave it to them. But settle it in your heart. You know, the disciples, when they were threatened, you know, said, don't speak anymore in this name. They flogged them. They threatened them. They threw them out of the temple and all these things. And they warned them, if you speak anymore in this place, in this name, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, Peter said, look, judge ye within yourselves who we should obey, whether you or God. Which is greater, your word or God's word? You are religious leaders after all. You know, so what do you think? They settled in their heart and look, we are going to obey the Lord. Now, the word of God is settled in heaven. Let it also be settled in your heart. Situations, you know, that arise in your life. Remember, by faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. You can also frame victory out of chaos in your life. That's how God did it in the beginning. There was chaos everywhere. Bible said the earth was void and, you know, chaotic and everything. And the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. And he brought order out of that chaos. And you can use the word of God to bring stability to your chaotic life. Now, some people, unfortunately, their life is always chaotic. They attract chaos. Even in natural life. And they go, they stumble, they fall. When they're carrying something, it falls out of their hands. You know, I mean, they trip, they do. I mean, their life is just chaotic. In physical life, they are chaotic. In other lives, they are chaotic. I mean, things are just, stuff just happens all the time. And they get into accident, they get into the accident in the house, accident in the way, accident on the road. Their life is just chaotic. No! You know, I come against that chaos in your life. Let there be settlement. That will keep in perfect peace. Let the word of God settle you. Glory to God. Now, some of you have gone through stuff. The Bible says, yeah, you've gone through stuff, but now it is time for God to settle you and to establish you, to establish you in the faith. You know, so I pray that the word of God will be settled in your heart. And that it will also bring settlement of every controversy. That's right. You know, anything that's raising its ugly head in your life or trying to cause you to do this and do that. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. But the God of all grace has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you have suffered a while. Well, some of you have been suffering for a while. Well, it is time for him to make you perfect, to establish and to settle you. Glory to God. So you can settle that also in your heart by the word of God. You can use the word of God to frame victory for your situation. We talked about that 2 or 3 days ago. Call the word of God over that situation. Speak the word of God to that situation. Bring order to that chaotic situation by the word of God. Jesus said, peace, be still. When the tempest was raging and everything, he used his word to calm the tempest. We can use the word of God to calm situations in your lives. And the devil wants you to be running like chicken with your head cut off. No, you settle it in your heart. You know, that though the mountains roar and everything, you know, chaotic around me, you know, the psalmist said, he said, look, you know, in this will I not fear. My heart will be settled. You know, he said, look, our God is a very present help in time of trouble. I have settled that in my heart. I'm not worried. Mountains may blow up around me and everything else may be one way or the other, but in my heart, I will not be troubled. Listen to this in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, mountains shake and everything. No, my heart is settled. You know, he said, in this, I will not fear. My heart is settled. Praise the Lord. So the word of God is already settled. Use it to settle your heart. And let it also be settled in your heart that what God has said he will do. I'm addressing this word settled in many different dimensions. One of the key factors out of this verse is that that which God has already spoken always stands fast. So once God has released the word, it will stand fast. For he commanded and it stands fast. He speaks and it is done. Till this day, the ordinances that he spoke into place, let there be. They are still so. And so we can settle the same in our hearts and let it be. Praise the Lord. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, then I should have perished in my affliction. Number one, he acknowledges affliction. You know, we work, you know, look, we're not looking for affliction, but when it comes, we embrace it with strength because we have the word of God. We're not going to let affliction get the better of us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, he says, you know, but you are strengthened because you know that the Lord will deliver you out of them all. We're not looking for it, but, you know, we embrace it with grace. We face it with grace. Psalm 34, verse 19. We face afflictions with grace. He said, you know, even James chapter 1, verse 12 begins to tell the people, he said, look, even when you fall into these difficult things, rejoice, because the Lord is going to bring you out of it. You know, be joyful when you fall into all these diverse things and so forth. How can I be joyful? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, but he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why do we rejoice? Because, you know, you have heard of the of the challenges and afflictions of Job, you know, but you have also seen the end of the Lord in the matter. The end of affliction for the righteous is deliverance. The Lord delivers him out of them all, you know. So there is nothing that should, you know, make you lose hope. A child of God should never lose hope. You know, we have heard of the afflictions of Job, but how did it turn out? In Job 42 and verse 10, the Lord gave him double for everything that he lost. Except for his children, he actually had an exact double count of everything. Got back the exact number of children that he lost, but in everything, cattle, she asses, all these other things, he got an exact double count of what he lost before all of those afflictions came unto him. So the end result of afflictions, you know, for the children of God, you know, is that, well, you will be delivered. You know, we count them happy, James said, which, you know, fall into different afflictions. James chapter 5, we read in verse 11. Well, you go through, you exercise patience in the word of the Lord when you are going through. And you know that, look, the word of God will be your comfort. If you don't have it, then you'll be destroyed in your affliction. You know, but you have it. Now, everybody will be afflicted, whether you're a believer or not. It will fall onto all. But the difference is that you have the word of the Lord to be your comfort through those afflictions. That's right. You know, so when those afflictions come, and they will come, you already know that the Lord will get you through it. When the Bible says in Isaiah 43 and verse 2 that when you pass through, well, when is a certainty. It's not about a matter of if. When means it will happen. But through means you will get to the other side. It's like, see you on the other side. You already know that you are getting to the other side. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the man already knew that he's coming out on the other side. That's why he said it that way. He could have said, when I go into the valley of the shadow of death. Well, that's a dead end if you go into it. But he said, I'm walking through it. I know I'm coming out on the other side. He already has confidence in the fact that the Lord was going to bring him through it. Praise the Lord. Behold, we count them happy which endure. James chapter 5 verse 11. You have heard, he said, of the patience of Job. You have heard of his afflictions. And we have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is pitiful, of tender mercy. So the word of the Lord during your affliction will help you. I will never forget thy precepts, he said in verse 93. With them thou hast quickened me. When you are down, the precepts of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the encouragements, the Lord in the scripture says, you know, admonish your own self, speaking to your own self in psalms and hymns and so on. Use the word of God to encourage yourself like that. Praise the Lord. Through thy precepts, verse 104, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Hallelujah. And I hate every evil way. Well, before I get to that, let me read verses 99 to 102. From verse 98. Through thy commandments, you know, has made me wiser than my enemies. Oh, how I love thy law, he said. How I love every verse of this is so rich. I'm trying to skip forward, but I keep going backwards because they are all so rich. Verse 97. Oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all that day. Can we say that? And may the Lord help us to make the word of the Lord our meditation all day. This word of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate upon it day and night. And there are blessings for that. You know, you will be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water, whose leaves will not fail, and will always bring forth his fruit in season, because he will never be out of season. I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies have been my meditation. In other words, when you focus on meditating on the word of God and digging deep to find the treasures that are therein hidden, God will give you wisdom that are even above, you know, natural teachers that don't have the wisdom of God. You know, natural teachers that don't have the wisdom of God, God will give you wisdom even above them when you know how to dig into the word of God. I understand more than the ancients because I kept their precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from judgment, for thou hast taught me. You know, how sweet are thy words to my taste and sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Is that your perception? And is that your testimony about the word of God? Is the word of God sweet to you when you hear it? Now, does it make your heart to rejoice? Is it the rejoicing of your heart and the rejoicing of your soul? Through thy precepts, I get understanding. That causes me to hate every evil way. Evil is bound up in our hearts by nature. Even just like foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child by nature. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. It says in the Bible. So in our hearts also, evil is bound up in there, but the word of the Lord will drive that, it will chase that evil away from our heart. Praise the Lord. Verse 105, powerful one that everybody knows. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he that followeth me, walketh after me, shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. You know, you will never be in darkness. You will not be confused. You will not be confounded either. You have the light of life. You know, the word of God with you is always a light around you. When you are standing, where you are standing, it's like there's a halo of light all around you. And even ahead of you, there's a light beam that shines to the path around you. This is what the word of God would do for you. Jesus said in John chapter 11 and verse 10, you know, he was talking about the number of hours and the number of, you know, hours in the day and night and so forth. Are there not 12 hours in the day and so forth? Well, when you walk in the day, he said, anybody that walks in the day, they don't stumble because they can see where they're going because it's daytime. I mean, the sun is shining. Everybody can see. You don't need to stumble because you can see. But when you walk in the night, well, then the chances are that you might stumble because you don't see what's in front of you. If you come into a dark room and there is no light, you might stumble over the furniture because you can't see. But Jesus said, well, actually, he said, well, that's the case for the man that has no light inside of him. But if you have light in you, not that you are carrying a flashlight or a lamp, no, but the light is in you. Inside, you said, the man stumbles when he walks in the dark because there is no light inside of him. Not that he's not carrying a flashlight. Might be carrying his flashlight and still don't have light inside of you. But if you have light inside of you through the word of God, you will never stumble. Where you are in light. You know, where you are going is light. You know, hallelujah. Light is sown for the righteous. You know, the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I mean, these things are the word of God. You're standing in the light, you're walking in the light, and you're walking through the light. You know, the path, you'll never be in darkness when you follow the word of God. You know, so these scriptures, so this verse, thy word is a light unto my, you know, lamp unto my feet and light to my path. Powerful, powerful, you know, scripture. The path of the righteous is as a shining light. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Shining more and more to the perfect day. You know, the more steps you take in the Lord and in the word of the Lord and towards that light, the brighter it is. You know, when you are chasing the light, like Enoch was, you know. Now remember, you know, everybody from Adam's fall was born into darkness. And consider the spectrum of life from left to right. On the left, you have sin, unrighteousness, darkness, and death. On the right, you have righteousness, life, and light. On the right. And we start out from this left. We're going towards the right. And then, you know, as you are trying to go towards that path, I mean, on that path towards the light, the gates of hell are closing up on you. I don't want you to get there. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against those that are on the paths of righteousness. When you're on the paths of righteousness, the gates of hell, they're walking against you, but they won't prevail. But, you know, as you are going, the nature of darkness is trying to catch up with you. You have to outrun it. That's what Enoch did. Enoch basically outran the rate of darkness and death. You might think of it that way. It's like you are going this way and death is trying to catch up with you. Darkness is trying to catch up with you. But you are moving forward. You are outpacing that darkness. John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So as you are going through it, as you are going through, you are shedding the darkness, going more and more towards the light, you are being transformed. And someday you become completely light and you're gone. Praise the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in thy word. Verse 126, it is time for thee, O Lord, to work. That's right. You know, they have made void thy law. So rise up, O Lord, especially in places where wickedness is prevailing. It's a prayer. In your city, in your nation, and so forth, if wickedness is prevailing, well, pray this prayer. Lord, rise up. It is time for you to walk. Let the Lord arise and let his enemies be scattered. Verse 130. I'm trying to go through this quickly now. Verse 130. The entrance of your word. One of my favorite verses in this long chapter. The entrance of your words give light. You've heard me say it almost every single day when I stand in the word of the Lord to open my mouth and teach the word. I always say this. The entrance of your word brings light, you know, and gives understanding to the simple. Praise the Lord. Verse 133. Order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. For sin shall not have dominion over you. I mean, Paul wrote the same things, you know, that we are reading here. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Praise the Lord. I will order my steps in the word of the Lord. And iniquity shall not have dominion over me. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Verse 144. Thy righteousness, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, Lord, and I shall live. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, verse 160, the word of the Lord is true from the beginning. It has been established in the heavens, and every one of his judgments, righteous judgments, endureth forever and ever. Praise the Lord. That's how he viewed even the judgments of the Lord. He appreciated it, and he was always thankful for it. Verse 162, powerful, powerful. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. more than treasure, more than winning the lottery even. I don't believe believers should be playing that, but I just use that phrase, his man said, rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Seven times a day, verse 164, do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. He's thankful for the Lord. No matter what the Lord does, even when he disciplines him, he's thankful, and he's always rejoicing at the word of the Lord, rejoicing at the word of the Lord. That's more precious to him than thousands of silver and gold, more precious to him than treasure that may be found. Praise the Lord. Verse 165. I want to get through this quickly. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. We talked about this quite a great deal yesterday. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. I was praying for someone this morning that was always offended at little things. And I said, Lord, let nothing offend them. Praise the Lord. When we were in prayer, my wife and I were praying for this person. There's no need to be offended at every little thing. Praise the Lord. Well, I have prayed for myself also. Let nothing offend me. I said, Lord, they that love the word of the Lord, they shall have great peace. Nothing shall offend them. Doesn't mean that offense will not come, but you will not be offended. That's the thing. That's a prayer that we must pray. And I want to take a moment and pause and pray this prayer. Lord, let me not be offended by any offense that may come. Either the pointing of the finger, the arrogance of man, the scourge of the tongue, or whatever. The Bible says that righteousness is of me. Every tongue that rises against in judgment, that condemned. Now, Lord, let my heart be settled to not be offended, even at offenses. That's right. Now, that is a great place. And for you yourself to not cause offense, let's pray that we will not cause offense. Who is a perfect man, but he that is perfect in word? Seest thou a man that is perfect in his ways? Well, he is that man that shall not offend in word. James said, show me a man that does not offend in word, and I'll show you a man that's perfect. I pray, Lord, that we will not be causing offense by our own words. Grievous words are like a wound. Let us not cause offense in Jesus' name. With your friends, with your brethren, even in your workplace, among your associates, out in the world, in the family, between husband and wife, between siblings, between parents and children, words can bring offense. Let not your words be offensive. Let your words, Colossians chapter 4 verse 6, let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Let your words be gracious. Book of Isaiah, he said, the Lord has given me the tongue, of the learned. My tongue is at the pen of a ready writer. I'm ready to speak a word in season, to someone that is weary. A good word that will encourage their heart. Not grievous words that will be like a wound or a sting. No, words that heal. Words that bring encouragement. May I be called a son of encouragement. Hallelujah. God, give my words to be encouraging. When men are cast down, let my words be able to bring a lifting up in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 70. Let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. Verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou shalt have taught me thy statutes. My tongue also shall speak of thy word. All thy commandments are righteous. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. Glory to God. And then in thy law is my delight. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. Well, you know, when I went astray, he said, you know, the Lord will seek me and I will not forget thy commandments. Blessed be the reading of the word of the Lord. So that concludes our lesson through Psalm 109. And this summary, very long one, but we covered it all. Now, I want us to go into prayers. I'm going to pray first to close the lesson. Then we're going to grow into prayers. Father, we thank you for the word that we have heard over these many days. For 1 week, we have been learning about how to engage the word of God in the spirit. And now we've seen all the ways that David used this word of the Lord to encourage himself and cause himself to walk in the integrity of his heart. I pray, Lord, that you will help us. Let us be able to develop peace, you know, as we cling unto thy word, that nothing shall offend us in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise, and we give you, the Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.